Ira, how are you?
I am good. I am still in a state of shock, and not even as much about winning last night here in Boston, but the fact is that after being in the play-in round, I'm still working in late May. Did not see this coming, Zach.
Not only in the play-in round, the second play-in game, down late in the fourth quarter. I know we always give the Heat the benefit of the doubt, and we talk about how scrappy they are in the Heat culture, but this is really unreal.
No, I mean, it really is. It's like these teams that make up a ton of games late in the standings. You never saw it coming. It's similar to that, and yet it was so dramatic. And yet here we are, about 6 weeks removed from that, and it seems so long ago because you look at the Miami Heat, like you said, about how last night was not a shock at TD Garden, and the way they're playing, and you say to yourself, this is a pretty good team, and this is a pretty good supporting cast. And this is arguably the best player in the NBA right now. I'm not saying Jimmy Butler is better than your leading men in the league, but right now, if you were to ask me on today's date who's playing best in the NBA, there are only four teams left, I'd have to tell you Jimmy Butler, especially after Jason Tatum's fourth quarter last night.
And he's just an absolute killer. And you could talk about the 35 points he had last night, but the six steals, Ira, are the most impressive part to me.
Yeah, and the pull-up three at the end. You know, between you and me, so anyone who's listening out there, cover your ears, Jimmy really wanted to come out and shoot a three to start the game, to sort of pick up where he left off last year in that Game 7 against Boston, make a statement, Heat wins the tip, he'll go down, he'll shoot a three, he'll show he's over it from that missed shot. Didn't quite happen that way, and yet, with a little over a minute to go, the game on the line, there he was, shooting a similar pull-up three, albeit later in the shot clock, basically putting the game away last night. So Jimmy remembers. Jimmy sort of takes names. So yeah, the fact that they're up 1-0 on Boston, they remember what happened in Game 7 last year. And I think just because they think they're in this position now, they really are looking to seize the moment, and no one saw it coming.
I remember I was at Jimmy Butler's introductory press conference when he quickly became a Philadelphia 76er, and that was right after everything that transpired in Minnesota. And a lot of those questions were about how he wasn't a great teammate and all that stuff. And he's just taken really his game to the next level. And not only that, he's a big time leader. What has changed with Jimmy Butler throughout the years, in your opinion?
You know what? I think when you go back and you look at Chicago and the team they had there that he was on, and then you go to Minnesota and you had Kat there, then you go to Philadelphia and you had Joel, he's never really been the leading man. And let's face it, there are guys in this league who seek out that moment. For every Kevin Durant who goes off to join up with people, be it in Golden State or in Brooklyn or in Phoenix, there are guys who want to be the man, who want to have that opportunity. And that's, one, what Jimmy was looking for. And number two, he was looking for a place where there was enough structure. It's almost like Jimmy knows he could be an SOB at times. We all remember that practice in Minnesota when he shows up and basically is playing in his street clothes with his Rolex still on, kicks some butt with the third team, storms out of the gym. All of a sudden, he's on SportsCenter with Rachel Nichols. I think Jimmy sort of realized he needed some structure also. And that's what the Pat Riley School for Wayward Kids does. He found his perfect match. We've seen this with the Heat so many times before, whether it was Tim Hardaway resurrecting his career, Anthony Mason becoming an all-star with the Heat. And now Jimmy is just the latest in that lineage.
Ira Winderman here with us. As great as Butler has been, the last few games of Bam Adebayo have been extremely impressive. And that's been a roller coaster ride of emotions the last few years. Heat fans, some days they love Bam Adebayo. Other days they're like, okay, get him off the team. What have you seen out of Bam recently?
You know, Bam has a subtle game that is appreciated by sort of basketball insiders and what he does, and the way he defends all five positions, and the way he boxes out, the way he does all the things that may not get you to all NBA, but make your team a winner. And he's the perfect balance for Jimmy because he's not out there seeking the glory. If you remember, I think it was two games ago at the Kaseya Center in Miami, the Heat were coming off a win. Bam had a podium moment. He was on the podium. And all of a sudden, his only Bam Adebayo can do, he goes, wait a minute, this is my mommy. That's what he calls his mom.
Yeah.
And he took her phone call on national TV, on NBA TV that night. So he's the perfect yin and yang to who Jimmy Butler is. That Jimmy wants it all. That Jimmy does the entrance when he walks into the arena to be noticed. And he comes in his own black car and he travels on his own. And Bam's just sort of the guy who just wants to be a guy. That's why it's really worked between those two. It didn't work with Kat, with Karl-Anthony Towns in Minnesota. One game I remember when he went at him and scored him, he called him soft as baby. I'll say the word poop instead. If you remember in Philadelphia when they won the series last year, he just was screaming in the hallway, they kept Tobias Harris instead of me. So, you know, Jimmy's sort of that guy. Bam's the opposite guy. He wants to be workmanlike. He wants to be appreciated, but he doesn't necessarily need the limelight. So that pairing has worked out really well.
And in the post-game press conference last night, Ira Winderman, all you did was point out the game one success. Why was Bam so upset with you?
You know what? I have this relationship with guys because, one, it's been a long season.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been with them since preseason. So, you know, it's sort of like the wife. Sometimes she just wants to turn over and not hear from you anymore. So we kid each other. Jimmy's done the same thing to me, and people go, man, what's between you two? And it's like, I'll give you an example, okay? The Heat win the series in Milwaukee. The ultimate upset probably in this season's playoffs, no matter what else happens the rest of the way. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even call Heat over Celtics as big as Heat over Bucks. So after the last game of that series, Jimmy's walking out to do his interview, and I go, hey, Jimmy, nice game. And he turns around and he goes, yeah, this morning you didn't even say hello to me. And it was funny because earlier in the day, and Zach, you know this because you covered a lot of sports, there's certain things you don't do in sports. You never go into the baseball clubhouse and talk to the pitcher who's pitching that day. He's off limits. You never at the morning skate talk to the goalie who's playing that night. So I thought in the morning shoot around, I'm going to give Jimmy his space. Because he is super laser-focused in the morning, and then he does that to me. It reminded me of a story, Christian Laettner, you remember when he was with Minnesota starting his career. First year he was in there, Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post, Amy Shipley from the Miami Herald, we walked up to him and started asking questions. And he goes to us, is that how you interact with people? You don't say, hi, who I am, how are you doing, and hello, you just throw questions at me? A year later, I go up to Christian Laettner, same Timberwolves locker room, and I go, hey, Christian, Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. And he turns to me and he goes, yeah, like I care. So you just sort of deal with this stuff over the years.
That's fun. Ira Winderman here with us right now. Also in those post-game press conferences last night, every Heat player went out of their way to say that they don't look at themselves as underdogs, even though they hear everything that's being said about them. It doesn't get inside the locker room. That has to be used as motivation. That's just a cliche athlete line, right?
Yeah, you know what? It is using motivation for this reason. All along, people are going, okay, with Tyler Hero out, Jimmy, we know we can give us 30, maybe a 40-piece, who knows, maybe a 50-piece along the way. But who's going to be the other 30-point scorer? Bam, as we talked about, that's not in his nature. He's more of a fill-the-box score guy. But what we saw last night is, instead of one or two teammates also scoring 30, you had Kyle Lowry with 15, Caleb Martin with 15, Gabe Vincent with 15, and Max Strus with 15. So you have four guys giving you 15 instead of two guys giving you 30. That, to me, crystallized who this Miami Heat team is. I know you win with star talent in the NBA, but the Heat are taking a little bit of a different path through this playoff run.
What did you see change in that third quarter? Because I was wondering what type of Boston you would get in the first half, and I was kind of expecting them to no-show. They showed up in the first half Boston, but they failed to show up in the third.
You saw the arrogance of a team who thought it would be easy, who after going seven hard-fought games against the 76ers, had the type of first half where they said, phew, we're finally done with Embiid. We're finally done with Harden. We're finally done with Maxey. Now we have an easier series. We got these number eight seeded guys, you know, the balloon's about to burst for them. And they exhaled. And the one thing about the junkyard dog Miami Heat of 22-23, they don't exhale. And they saw sort of the raw steak laying out for them, and they started chomping on it. And that's the difference. I don't think the Celtics, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, took the Heat seriously enough. And by the time they caught them, it was like, holy crap, we're down 8 points.
Jason Tatum is also frustrating because he is a great player. We got to see what he did in that game seven. But In the fourth quarter last night, he didn't even take a field goal attempt. Like, that's inconceivable to me, even with how great the Heat defense is.
Yeah, I think that's rookie coach also. I think, you know, Reggie Miller and Stan Van Gundy were talking about it on the broadcast. When a guy's coming off a 51-burger and he doesn't get a shot early enough, you call a timeout, you run a set for him, you ISO him, you get him to the foul line, you get him going. You know, that's the thing I still believe in this series, which I think very well can go seven and certainly can be won, you know, I would say easily by Boston, but they certainly could have their way still the rest of the way, is the coaching matchup. Eric Spoelstra has seen and done it all. Joe Mazzulla is throwing, you know, his coach's pad on, you know, on the bench, is saying he doesn't call timeouts because he wants to get them, you know, out of their problems. He called two timeouts too early. You know, we do those silly things, you know, those matchups. Who's better at center? Who's better at power forward? You know, and we tend to say, well, that's 1 point for this team, 1 point for that team. I'd say when you assess the differences in this team, the coaching difference is so significant that I think that's where the Heat have a significant edge, that the Celtics, even with the talent of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart, still have to overcome. Joe Mazzulla might become a great coach, but remember Eric Spoelstra in the first year of the Big Three. No one, when the Heat were losing to the Mavericks in the 2011 finals, said, hey, this guy's going to the Hall of Fame one day. It still takes time.
When did you realize that Spoelstra was going to be a great coach? Because when he had the Big Three, no matter what he did, everyone nationally was like, okay, anyone could coach this team. But since then, even though he hasn't won a finals, he has proven that right now he's pound for pound, in my opinion, the best coach in the sport.
Because he can take whatever you give him and make him something. I'm going to tell you, I saw it even before the Big Three. I don't mean to condescend here, and I love Michael as a person. He got Michael Beasley to the playoffs. I mean, think about that. And in 2009, he got to a Game 7 against the Atlanta Hawks, and the year after, he played a series against the Boston Celtics when the Heat had nothing. And then after the Big Three, when you have years, or even actually just the years when he had Dwayne Wade and, like, Jermaine O'Neal, and they made the playoffs. I mean, look at what he did that one season. You might remember, they started 11-30, and the second half of the season, they went 30-11. Zach, what other team doesn't quit in that situation? In the lottery-chasing NBA, what team doesn't say, ah, forget it, this is going nowhere? Instead, they were alive until the final game of the season when the Nets sat all their players and Chicago got the last playoff spot. That just tells me, that's who Eric is. He'll find a way. Tyler Hero's out, he'll find a way. Victor Oladipo's out, he'll find a way. Look at Game 2 in New York. Jimmy Butler was out, and they were within 3 points in the final 2 minutes. He loves trying to find a way.
You go back to that Bucks series, they win Game 1, then Game 2, the Heat barely even showed up. What type of Heat team do you see tomorrow night with an opportunity to take two on the road in Boston?
You know what? That's the story I wrote today at the Sun Sentinel. I wrote that, look at the Milwaukee series. Game 2, not very good. Game 2 in New York, of course, Jimmy was out, but they fell behind by 8 early. You were in trouble. Also, look at last year. The first two games were Miami against Boston. The Heat won Game 1 of that series in the Eastern Conference Finals also, and then got slaughtered in Game 2 at what was FTX Arena at the time, RIP FTX. So when you look at it, the Heat have plenty of examples. I think Eric Spoelstra can come out and show them all of that and basically ask them, you've taken the hard way all season. Perhaps we try a little different way right now. And I think Jimmy, with some of his best play late last night, I think that was a good sign. And the fact that he had so many contributors, that if maybe one of those guys is off, another guy, maybe a Duncan Robinson or someone steps up, I think that he'll be more competitive than I think some people think in a game that's going to be pretty desperate for the Celtics.
Longtime Heat reporter Ira Winterman covers the team for the Sun Sentinel. Ira, thanks so much.
Hey, and I gave you a Christian Laettner story also. My pleasure, Zach. Thank you.